Welcome to Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne. And today we're doing a special episode for Expressive Mom. And even though Brian, our king, is not a mom, he is a father who is married and has children. And so he understands a lot about parenting. And our site, Expressive Mom, isn't just about moms. It's literally a site that we give tips and tools and resources to parents of kids that are maybe have slight disabilities, whether it be ADHD, to normal rambunctious kids. And Brian has a lot of experience in both. And so I love talking to him because he has a rich practice where he works with parents who have children that are slightly disabled. He has two children of his own, which I'll allow him to talk about. And he's dealing with his own disabilities, whatever you want to call them, issues, like I have in my past. So I resonate with Brian a lot. He's a beautiful soul. And thank you so much for joining me, Brian.
Well, thank you for such a wonderful introduction. I can't wait to see where our conversation goes.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, he also is an amazing author. And so, and as everyone knows, I put together a whole blog post anyway. So you'll have all his information on there along with his books and everything else. And we're going to be focusing on this particular episode because me and him can talk about many different things for a very long time. This episode is going to be about parenting tips and tools and resources. So first, Brian, I'd love for you to share. I like people I'm interviewing to be the storyteller. Why don't you share a little bit about your life, about your family, your children, and then we can go from there.
I grew up with undiagnosed ADHD and dyslexia, and even though I didn't know about any of these challenges, I made it all the way through a master's degree in social work, and I published 4 books before having my own children, who all 3 of whom were consequently diagnosed with Asperger's and ADHD. And like many people my age, we learned about our own challenges through our kids. And then all the red flags start going off, the light bulbs start flashing, and all the challenges we had throughout our lives suddenly begin making sense. So helping them helped me just as much.
And I always think that's brilliant because I always tell everybody, I don't care who it is, we're all teachers for one another, whether it be a child teaching us or a coworker pissing us off and triggering something that we need to look at. I think too many people don't realize that whatever's going on in our lives, if we just actually pay attention to it, there's something in there for us. And so I think in a weird way, you're blessed because even though your children do have some challenges, you've been able to get to know yourself better in a way that gets you to connect the dots of your own challenges. So, and you're also able now to help your children because you've been through it. So in an odd way, I would, you know, and although some people wouldn't consider it a blessing, I think your children are very blessed to have you and you're blessed to have them.
Well, one question, just to piggyback on what you were saying, is one question I asked myself, and of course I wasn't born with this insight. This is something that comes from decades of being beaten up and then getting sick and tired of playing the victim. And what I learned to ask myself was, how do I turn this into something I can use? You know, I was talking to a colleague earlier today who said everything happens for a reason. And I said, well, the way I'm inclined to look at it is I need to find the reason in it. I need to be deliberate and say, how do I turn this into something I can use? And in terms of my son's diagnoses and mine, I realized that if they follow the stereotypical understanding of what it means to have these challenges, they're going to be on government assistance, living in group homes for the rest of their lives. And for some kids, that is the outcome that they experience. I wanted to give my boys a fighting chance. So I knew I needed to absolutely immerse myself in understanding these different maladies that they had, understanding the skill sets they would need to have, so that the world would not eat them alive. And in amassing all of this knowledge and developing my own strategies, I became so proficient that other parents and professionals began asking me to train them. And that's what led to the coaching practice that I've been doing for the past 8 years now. And I've got clients all over the country. A couple of years ago, I was hired to speak in Colombia for a week, doing presentations with a translator, and it was absolutely amazing time. And all that came about because I had children with these special needs that I wanted to see succeed.
So that, I think, something I'd like to talk about, because like you said earlier, way at the beginning, that choosing to be in victim mode or choosing to have children, that you wanted to give them tools so they could succeed so they weren't in victim mode. And obviously, the one thing I always point out to people is, you know, they'll say to me, you always post positive things on your page. You know, you're always whatever. You know, you can't be that positive all the time or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm like, well, guess what? A, I'm human. Do I have meltdowns? Yes. Do I have days where we were talking earlier that where I might get depressed? Yes. I think the only difference between me and Brian is that we've chosen to, in that moment, whether we are in pain or whether we are having a day where we're more down or whatever, right? That we take the choice to be proactive and be positive within that situation. It doesn't mean that we still don't feel pain. It doesn't mean that we still don't get angry now and again. It doesn't mean that we still don't get our meltdowns. I think the only difference is that we've done a lot of proactive work to be able to come up with proactive solutions in the moment. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. What you're talking about is resilience. You know, we know how to not get stuck in that place. We're absolutely human. I don't walk around burping butterflies all day long. You know, I've got a lot of physical pain. And we can talk about this another time. I have a chronic genetic disorder that's gradually taking away my ability to walk. And that's on top of everything else. And there are some days I'm in such pain that I want to cry, but I have to remind myself to be present and say, this too shall pass. This is temporary. This is happening now. Where can I focus? What can I be grateful for? How can I find a smile to interrupt this so I don't get caught in that funk? And absolutely, there are days that I'm bumming and sad and negative, but I do my utmost not to stay there. And that's really the difference, is I don't let myself get caught up in it.
The other thing I want to point out is, you know, as in the self-development genre, people are always saying, you know, what you focus on expands. And so I've heard people tell me, well, you're always telling your story. Isn't that focusing on the negative? I'm like, no. The difference is we use our stories to empower others, and we're giving people tools on how to empower themselves. We're not sitting here going, well, yeah, I grew up with blah, 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 and, you know, I've had blah, 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 and, you know, my life sucks. We're actually going, okay, yes, you're saying I have a genetic disorder. Yes, I have, you know, children that were ADHD, Asperger's. Everyone knows my story of sexual verbal physical abuse and 30-something surgeries, right? It's not the story. It's what we do with the story. We can take our stories and give people the tools we've used to come out of our story, or we can stay stuck in repeating the story but from a very negative, dark place where we're in this victim energy. So, I have a little bit of an issue with the word, you know, what we focus on expands. I agree with it in the fact that if you're stuck in the negativity of the victim energy, yes. And again, our narrow focus, if we're so focused on a dot, we miss all the peripheral opportunities to help us get out of something. I just think a lot of people, because they hear that over and over and over again, people like us or other people that do have challenges, when they talk about them and use them as their platform to help others, people think we're focusing on the negative versus understanding that we're actually using it as a tool to empower, motivate, inspire.
Well, absolutely. When you tell your story, and I've come across these folks, I imagine you have as well, is they'll give you their story and it'll be under the umbrella of, and here's my excuse. And here's why I can't. And when you and I tell our story, it's more along the lines of, and here's why I did it anyway. You know, I had these things that I was tripping over. I had these things that got in my way. But I had a belief. I had a habit. I had a certain resource. I had a support that made me say, okay, this isn't an opportunity to be mad at the world. This isn't an opportunity to be helpless. This is an opportunity to be resourceful so that I can do it anyway. When I tell my story, that's what I emphasize. How do you be creative? How do you learn to solve problems in new ways as opposed to simply being the problem?
I love that. One of my most fun stories is, and this goes to exactly what you're saying, it was my 28th surgery, and someone had booked me to be interviewed on the Paying It Forward radio station. And I didn't, you know how it is, when you have an emergency or a surgery comes up, you don't actually really know the date until maybe 2 weeks prior, or sometimes you might know sooner. Anyways, this particular show booked out, took 6 months to get, et cetera. So finally I get the date of my surgery and I'm like going, you know, damn, you know, I have this interview like 2 days after and I knew I was going to be in the hospital. And I have two choices in that moment, to literally call up the producer and go, I can't do this because I'm going for surgery this day and I'll still be in the hospital. And I feel really sorry. I know it took 6 months, you know, all this whole blah, blah, blah story, right, of the why I can't, or my solution. I had the surgery and I figured if something bad happened to surgery, then someone would contact them. But anyway, that was not my option in my brain. I have the surgery. I get transported to the rehab. They just replaced one of my knees. And I fight with the nursing staff and I'm like, I need a wheelchair in my room. I'm being interviewed tomorrow. I'm like, I'm sorry, we don't allow wheelchairs in the room because of liability issues. You're going to have to call us exactly when you need it. And I wanted them to leave in there overnight so I could, you know, wash myself up, get dressed and get myself a wheelchair and get out of my room. Because you know how hospitals are. Alarms are going off. People are, you know, nursing bells, chatter, 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 really, really loud. So I already had this all mapped out. I'd been in a wheelchair the day before. I wheeled myself around the place. I said, okay, I'm going to get myself in this wheelchair and I'm going to wheel myself to the courtyard and I'm going to do the podcast from there. And that's what I did. I got myself in a wheelchair, pain, I was on morphine, you name it. And I wheeled myself out to the courtyard and I did the 1 hour interview.
And that's awesome.
Right? It's like, those were my choices. To cancel, I was like, no, damn it. I really want to do this, you know? So I fought with the nursing staff. I got my wheelchair. You know, I washed myself up. I, you know, got in there, wheeled myself up. I had someone, you know, of course, getting out to the courtyard was another, you know, there's never people around to get you out where you want to go. I asked someone else who was visiting a resident, a guest, can you please open the door for me? Because I couldn't wheel myself out and open the doors. And got out in the courtyard and did it. And, you know, yes, I was on morphine for God's sake. So I'm like, how the hell did you do the interview? I'm like, I checked in my brain. I go, you need to be present now. Put the morphine over here, you know, like, and be present. And I'm sure I probably sounded a little more less hyper than I am now, right? Because that's just my personality because I was on, you know, medication. Except I did listen to the interview and I gave valid tips, valid points, and valid stories. So, you know, if I always look at it this way. If you really want something badly enough, you'll find a way. I think the biggest thing, I know you can relate to this, I think the biggest thing that trips us up is we're afraid to ask for help because of our ego. If we ask for help, then we're weak. People would think of us less than, instead of asking for the help that you need to get the tools that you need to do what you need to do.
Well, and I'll be honest, that's something I've really been struggling with lately because I'm used to being able to walk around, take a walk with my wife, go and walk the dogs, and that's becoming harder. And my wife is really good at reminding me of how much I've taught the boys so far and that I'm modeling this for them as well. So that encourages me to kind of kick back and ask myself those questions of how do I use this? What's the message I want to send them? What is the message I need to be telling myself about what this means? And she has to keep reminding me. I'm as stubborn American male as anyone else. And sometimes get stuck in my ego, just like you said, and need to be reminded that it's okay to ask for help. And sometimes it's hard, but I need to get used to it.
It's a hard one. I think sometimes in those moments, it's the lesson of stop, breathe, and allow, and the asking. It's really hard when we're, especially I think for people that have had a lot of challenges, we tend to have this strong will to get ourselves to keep on going. And we get caught in the struggle with, okay, it's me against the world. And, you know, if it wasn't for my mindset and my positivity and my strength, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And at the same time, having that balance of when to ask for help. Because I know in the hospitals, I'm like, yeah, I don't want anyone's help. I can do it, right? Because you have to have this mental power or, you know, this mindset to get where you need to go. And at the same time, knowing when, there's that balance, knowing when to go, okay, uncle, I need help with this. And I know that's something that's, you know, like, so you can get out, you know, when you go to that next step of wherever you are and it's something less than, I was just blind in the side for a week because it's complicated. So, you know, but I was still working. I was still doing graphics. I was working with one eye and everyone else is freaking out. Oh my God, aren't you freaking out? And I'm like, you know, my eyes have always been what they are and just not having an eye for a week, they're going to be operated on at emergency surgery, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, you just have to make do with what you have and do what you need to do. And I think it's just that part of our egos not allowing us to be feel in that weak spot or asking for help, because we're so used to being creative and positive and strong to get out of whatever we're in. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And one thing that, and I know you can relate to this after mentioning how many surgeries you've had, and also with the learning challenges, is when you bump into certain problems and then you find out the solution that time, then you encounter it again, you may as well not have learned it. You know, in many cases, it's the first time each time, and that can be demoralizing. Especially if there are people around you that say, "Ah, come on, this is common sense. You should know this." Or, you know, "You're old enough. You should have come across this by now." And then there are people out there, and it's very difficult to take the high road when they say, "What are you, stupid? Or you're just making excuses. Come on, you're not trying hard enough." And I don't know that that kind of ignorance is ever going to go away. But for those of us that have those challenges, we need to give ourselves permission to not have to, I want to find the best way to say this. We need to give ourselves permission not to live up to somebody else's story of who we're supposed to be.
Or expectation of what people are expecting you to be.
Right.
The biggest thing we all need to remember that is that I miss being we're all interconnected is that I always teach the multi-sensory for a reason, because depending on what you, and this goes back into neuro-linguistic programming, okay? And I know you know about a lot about this as well. Some people are kinesthetic, and kinesthetic people tend to be more mellow and slower. People that are visual, like me, they're really hyper. They talk with their hands. Their brain just fires, and processes really fast. Then there are people that are, we call audio-digital, and I see this as one of my partners all the time. I'll ask him a question, and he'll actually take the information in. He'll actually look at me, and I know he's leaving me. And then he'll, like, you can actually watch his eyes do this. His eyes will go up and right. It's like he goes to another part of his brain to, he got the information, now let me go over here and process it. Then it comes back, and then he looks at me again, and then he gives me an answer. So it's like if we could actually tune into the individual, not our own expectations of how we process, we will realize that some people take a little longer to process. Some people are very, like I said, audio digital or what we call analytical and need to actually process. It's like they love science and they're just more, it tends to be a lot more male energy. However, there are a lot of females that are analytical and like that. And audio. And so some people really need you to maybe slow down your speech, which is really hard for me. I try really hard. It doesn't work very well. When I slow down my speech, I start to, almost stutter my words. So, yeah, it doesn't work very well. And so we really need to have, I would say, patience. We need to have patience with other people's processing and learn how they process, especially if you're dealing with a client. Or you're going to choose to work with people only like you, which can kind of get really boring after a while. So I think it's patience and tuning into another person's processing and their needs. And I say, I encourage everybody, go take courses on psychology, communications, and neuro-linguistics programming. Because then, when you meet people, you automatically understand and be able to view, like, very instantly how they process, which will eliminate your frustration.
Yeah, one thing that I absolutely reinforce with my boys is every relationship you get into, you need to establish as soon as possible that you both agree to clarify and give each other feedback in order to maximize your understanding. Because when you have different communication styles, when you have ADHD or you have dyslexia or anything that impacts the way you process communication, you know there's going to be glitches. There's going to be gaps in there that you need to account for. So you need to make sure you're hearing it the way they intended it.
It's like,
and that's good for any relationship. That's good for any relationship. Yeah. So you have to be prepared to do that, and you do it as a sign of respect. Because the other person wants to be heard. They deserve to be heard. You want to hear them. So let them know that these tools, these agreements, are in service of that.
I have another partner. She calls me the stream of consciousness girl. And it's like, don't ask me a question so I'm done telling you what I have to say, because otherwise I'm completely forget what I have to say. So we'll be brainstorming about a project and we're going through it, and I will just like rattle off 1,000 things. And my one partner, she doesn't think like that. And my other partner wants to interrupt me. You know, just people on my team. So my other partner wants to interrupt me all the time. And when he does that, it completely throws me off track as to all the brilliant brainstorming I'm having. And so my other partner, she finally said, Carly's a stream of consciousness girl. And she'll actually tell my other partner, stop, let her continue. And then, because she knows that if you just let me get it all out, then you can ask me all the questions you want, right? And it's hard for her. And so what she'll do is exactly what you just said. She'll come back to me and say, okay, Carly, you just brain dumped. I would like to just now repeat what I understood so that we can make sure we're on the same page. Is this what you meant in what you said? And I'll tell her, right? And so if she got that I'm a stream of consciousness girl, I need to brain dump, right? Because I'm brainstorming. I'm like getting all this creativity. And that's what we do, creativity and market, right? And then the other one, he just wants to constantly come and say, well, wait a minute. And wait, you can't do that, because if you do that to me, I would totally lose my train of thought. And she's brilliant now, because she finally gets that. She just needs to let me ramble. And then she can come back to me and say, is this what you meant? Are we on the same page? And then we can all attack it with questions. And then I'm good. But if you stop me, I'm done.
You've got a wonderful system there.
Exactly. So I love it. So what I'd love for you to share is, since like you know, you've written some books, you work with parents, with kids, I'd love for you to share some tips and tools for parents that have children, whether they be Asperger's, ADHD, or just maybe hyper or whatever. What are some tools that you shared one about making sure your kids know to seek clarification. Did I hear this correctly? What are some other tips and tools, parents, not just giving tools to other kids, but what are some parents tools for parents they can do with their kids?
Well, one thing you must understand is you can't ask for what you're not prepared to give. If you're not going to model it, don't expect it of your kids, because nothing confuses a child more than hypocrisy. So if you're talking about clarification and feedback, you need to do it with them. You know, you can't be impatient and hot-tempered and tell your kid, wait a minute, can't you be patient? What's wrong with you? And then you're flying off the handle when they're not moving fast enough. So do a little self-awareness check. See what are the areas you have to work on. Seek some support. You know, when you and I have conversations, we can validate each other. We can give each other tips. People like myself, a coach or another parent, a neighbor, a sister, who's farther along the road in parenting than you are, ride their coattails for a while. Learn what it is they have to teach. When it comes to kids that are more scattered or have some difficulties processing in certain situations, priming is very basic, very necessary. And that basically means like priming the pump, getting it ready. If you have advance notice for something, talk to them ahead of time. What's the plan? What's going to be expected of them? What can they expect from the context? I was speaking to a client earlier today where the young man has to get ready for soccer practice. He has a hard time doing step one, step two, step three, step four. I said, fine, how many of those steps can be taken care of in advance? So when it comes time, he just needs to grab a bag of stuff and walk out the door. And they haven't been doing that. So simplify the child's life. The more problems they have to solve, the more steps they have to complete, the more anxious they can become. So think about solving problems before they're needed. I do that a lot, and it saves me a lot of aggravation.
So something you said I absolutely love, and I do it with my clients as well. I just call it something different, and I love what you said, is I always say, let's develop a toolbox. And I'll actually tell a parent, let's develop a toolbox for you and for each of your kids and for all these different situations. I have one client that gets very anxious. And I finally said to her, okay, let's create a toolbox for when you get anxious. And I actually said, you know, get like almost like an index box, right? Get little index cards and start writing down some things that when you're in that anxious moment, you know, I said to her, I want you to have your iPod with music on with you at all times. I don't care where you are, the iPod needs to be in your purse. So it's like you said, creating almost like a knapsack or however you want to do it, whether it be a knapsack for the child so it has tools already in there, or it's the woman's purse, or it's the man's briefcase. Build tools that are in those, wherever those environments are. It could be that you have an emergency kit in the car that's something that calms the kids down. And maybe they need a coloring book and some crayons, or it could be a really good DVD, or it could be music. Find out what specifically your needs are, whether it be your child, you, or even coworkers or clients, and build that toolbox for that specific situation. And that way, when you get in the situation, it's as easy as almost like picking up this water bottle. I'm thirsty, I drink my water, right? I'm anxious, I pull out my iPod. So work at building the tools, like you said, ahead of time so that they're really accessible when you need them.
Absolutely. And one thing that I wish the schools would stop doing is defining success in terms of having to do without accommodations. As for many of us, our accommodations are what allow us to live our lives fully. With my dyslexia, I use a lot of text-to-speech technology. I use the computer to read my books to and so on. There were some very well-meaning colleagues who wanted to teach me how to read, understand punctuation, go through these drills. And I said, okay, I could spend my time exhausting myself on all these drills. Or I could use the technology that is in every smartphone and on every computer and just get into the content and learn what I have to learn. Where's my time better spent? Sometimes it just makes sense to use with the tools that are there.
One thing I've gotten really clear on, and there's a couple services I love. One of them is called audible.com, where they have, you know, the books. And I've also, yep, there's a lot of people now that have come out with like Cliff Notes, however, they're audio Cliff Notes. And so they read all the famous books like Think and Grow Rich and, you know, I don't know, just so many books, right? And then you can actually, they're called the Philosopher's Notes. And they have, I don't know, like 199 titles of really, you know, well-known bestsellers. And they're by all these brilliant authors. And they're like Cliff Notes. And I love them because the Philosopher's Notes, I can actually go read the pithy points from these like 300-page books that I really haven't, you know, I want to read, right? I'm always, and there's always new books coming out. And it's really hard to read a book a day when you're working and, you're, you know, all this other stuff going on. So when I go for my walks, I'm listening. I always love listening to books when I'm walking. I'm in the car, I like listening to books. So I do agree with you. There's so many tools out there now where we can actually use to get the resources that we need. I have one question for you though, and this is an important one. So we'll hear from people all the time, and I know you must hear this a lot as well, is, but I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't know who to go to get the resources. So what would you say to someone like that? I know what I've said in the past, but I'd love to hear what you would say to a parent or even a young adult who says, well, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the resources to do in that situation.
The first resource is your public library. Find books that are there, find the ones that get checked out the most. Sometimes if there are support groups, they will leave flyers at the library right in the foyer. Sometimes the support groups are there, sometimes they're at your local church, okay? The next thing is the internet. Now, be careful with that because anybody can put anything on the internet. Just because it's there doesn't make it so, all right? You want to find some kind of digital or in-person support group. Facebook has some wonderful support groups, not so wonderful. You want to find groups where there's a sense of camaraderie, open sharing of resources, not places that get into open, hostile debates about this is right, this is wrong, this is the problem. That helps no one. You want resources that are going to give you meaningful action steps to improve the life of you and your child. So let's see, the library, support group. I know there was three, but my sequencing issues just kind of pooped out on me, so I forgot the third one.
Three brilliant ones. A public library, definitely. I think it's an amazing resource. And by the way, guess what? In the library, if you don't even know where to go, go to the help desk or the resource desk, and they will actually help you find those resources. So that's a good one. And for the people who say, well, I'm not spiritual, I don't believe in God, I don't want to go to church, because they've been, whether it be some, and I hear this a lot, people that have gone through, I would say, massive abuse. And so they're like, well, how could a God let me go through that? You have to put that aside because you have to understand a lot of the times the churches are just a free space for people to actually run a group. It doesn't mean it's a spiritual or church-based group.
And I'll disclose here too, I don't believe in a God, but I do believe in community, okay? Regardless of where they meet, a church is a building. You are there where you are meeting people with that sole purpose of coming together to help each other and enrich each other's lives. Now, for whatever reason you do that, don't fret the context. Just focus on your purpose. That's why you're there.
Exactly.
So wherever they happen to meet, show up and serve.
And it's important. The reason why I brought that up is because a lot of people don't realize that the reason why some of these groups go to the churches is because the churches will give them the space for free, and or they'll run out of a community center. And I know a lot of times people, like you said, won't, or I mentioned, they won't go to the church group because of that. So I just want to say that you know, and obviously if you are a religious person and you want that type of group, there are some churches that'll actually have groups that are more, there are 12 steps now that are more spiritual based, and now there's 12 steps that are more new age based. So don't get caught up on, like you said, where the group is being run out of, whether it be a community center or a church. Go there because you want the help. So we said libraries, we said churches. The other one I did want to point out is our teachers and our friends. A lot of times we're afraid to go to them because we don't want anyone knowing our situation, but guess what? A lot of times they may know someone or have resources that you wouldn't even know that they have. Or guess what? You may tell them what you're going through, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to share something with you that they're going through that you didn't know about because you were open enough and brave enough to tell them your situation. So don't be so afraid to share.
One of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that we're alone. You know, we tend to be so subjective that whenever we have an experience, we mistakenly believe that we're the first one. But as soon as we put it out there, it's amazing how many people come out of woodwork. And before you know it, there's a community. And just because it's new to you doesn't mean it's new. That's exactly when you need to reach out and say, I'm having this new experience. Have you ever heard this before? Oh, yeah, my sister has that issue. Or, yeah, my sister is dealing with that. What do you want to know? I'm happy to help you.
Exactly.
There are just dozens and dozens of people out there eager to pay it forward.
And what I've said a zillion times in my interviews is there's always someone somewhere who needs to hear exactly what you have to say in that moment. It's no different than me reading, I guess, my books, doctor. But the point is, if I read the book, right, and I may get something out of it, you may read the same book and you'll get something out of it. I've had an author come up to me and she goes, I don't want to write about this subject. There's so many books about that subject. And I said, what? We have to remember that we all resonate with different people. You may resonate with a male. You may resonate with a female. You may resonate with someone that's a little more spiritual, less spiritual, doesn't believe in God, believes in God. So there could be 100 different books, thousands of different books on the same topic, but realize my unique experience is unique to me. My abuse, what I went through, even though it may be sexual, verbal, physical, someone else's may be sexual, verbal, physical, or what him and I both have in common, which is a lot of medical stuff, right? His stuff is still unique to him. My stuff is still unique to me. So by not sharing your story, you're doing a disservice to the world. Because when you share your story in your way, in your speech, in your style, you're going to reach out to people that some people can't. I'm hyper. I get that. I speak fast. I get that. And some people love that about me. And some people are like, get the hell away. You need to come down 10 notches, okay? And I'm okay with that. And Brian has his own kind of energy and way of talking and methodologies and the way he delivers it. And some people would be totally drawn to Brian and like push me out of the way. They'd be like, I'm going to tune out Carly for this whole podcast. I'm just going to listen to Brian talk, right? And that's okay. So share your stories.
The best message, and I'm glad we're getting to the point about stories. The best takeaway every time you tell your story, make sure anybody hearing it remembers these three words. It gets better. They need to know that no matter how difficult it is, there are resources out there. There are people willing to help you. There are skills, knowledge within yourself you haven't tapped into. That when you get all these things in place and you do the work, it gets better. And that's what people need to know.
Brilliantly said, because we do need to let people that it isn't this, if you just go out people and drill them and banter them or, you know, hammer them and you don't give them some feedback that, you know what, yes, today may be dark, but to me, I actually have this quote pick, I know you've seen it, where I like, even within the darkness, there's always light. And we need to remember that no matter how dark something may be in that moment, there is always light. And we just have to be open and aware and be willing to actually see it and feel it. And I can't emphasize enough friendships. I mean, me and Brian and social media. Social media to me is a we platform. It's social we media. Two people, two connections, collaboration. I would have never met Brian if it wasn't from the internet and through all our connections with Link Local Network and Fred and, you know, all that. The internet is an fabulous resource for people that have disabilities who are stuck at home. You can meet people all around the world. There's this, what we're talking on, Google Hangout. It's free. You can see each other, which to me is 100% impactful. I can see Brian's face. I can see his body language. I can see his eyes, right? There's Skype and free, right? So don't miss out on a lot of the opportunities that are out there. There's actual people that run Google Hangouts that are support groups, right? And they're small. They're not with hundreds of people, maybe 10 people. So don't be afraid to look. And one thing I'm going to point out, because you mentioned this, is I call it vetting. So if you're using the internet, you're looking at Facebook groups, vetting means checking out the source, checking out the people that are in the groups. Because like you said, if they're doing debates, wars, get out. Find a group where people are open to listening, whatever the situation is. And you check their walls. It's very simple. Go check the group walls and go down the stream and you'll see right away whether you want to be in that group or not. So I know Brian and I could talk forever. We're not going to do that to you. So I'm going to let Brian give us some last tips. And Brian, since this is also a podcast, can you please spell out where they can find you?
Absolutely. My website is my name, Brian R. King, International.com. And my parting words to any parents listening is, please do yourself the courtesy of allowing yourself to be imperfect. Having kids does not gift you with mind-shattering enlightenment. You are going through this journey with your children. Let them see you fall and pick yourself back up, because that's exactly what they're going to need to do for the rest of their lives. Be a human being with them. If you don't know something, don't pretend to know. Don't be a know-it-all. Embrace that moment with a sense of wonder, saying, that's a very good question. How do you think we find out? Take them to the library. Take them to the internet. Go to the neighbor who's an expert on it and ask them questions. Teach them to be curious and to embrace that not knowing. Because if you go through life being forever curious, you're going to be solution-focused, instead of somebody who thinks they need to know it all and then is, by virtue of that, afraid to ask for help and ask questions.
I love that. I truly do. I actually tell clients that all the time. It's like, if I don't know, I'm going to tell you. However, I will go find a solution and come back to you. It's so important to be, allow yourself to be vulnerable and say when you don't know something and not feel embarrassed or stupid. So I want you to actually spell it out as well, because this is a podcast. Not everyone's going to see your lower third. So I know you're Brian R. King. But I want people to actually know that it's B-R-I-A-N-R-K-I-N-G. And then he has International at the end, which you can spell two different ways. Spell out International or I-N-T-L.com. So, and I did that pretty slow. Anyways, thank you so much.
I think you did it perfectly.
I always get, you know, when you're spelling it, you get your brain starts to kind of caboodle. But anyways, I put together an amazing blog post. It has our embedded video. It has the embedded podcast. I'll actually have some of those books, because it does have some books about kids and Asperger's. He has a great book about Asperger's, and it's a great, I love the image. But anyways, he's got some great books. I'll have those as well. I'll have images and links to them. I encourage you to go read them and get them. And I encourage you to reach out to Brian. He's all over the place. You can find him on, and I remember, you got to put the Brian R. King. So if you just put in Brian King, you won't find him as easily. You can find him on Facebook, Google, Twitter, all over the place. And you can find me, your host, Carly Alyssa Thorne, at carlyalyssathorne.com. Find me all over the internet, Carly A. Thorne or Carly Alyssa Thorne. And that's CarlyAlyssathorne.com. And goes, why do you keep that long thing? Because in the acting days, there's another Carly Thorne. So we needed to distinguish ourselves. So with my middle name, I have my own easy platform to find. So anyways, I wish everyone a wonderful day, and I love bringing you valuable content. Brian, you're brilliant. I always love talking to you, and I can't wait to talk to you again. I wish everyone a brilliant, beautiful day. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. I always love our conversations.
I know. We could talk forever. All right. Bye, everybody.